my listening friend. I'm so glad you've joined me today. You're in for a special treat, as just a few days ago I had a lengthy conversation with singer, songwriter, conference speaker, and first and foremost, disciple, ambassador, and faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm breaking our conversation into 2 days so I can include some of Michael Card's music, old and new features. So make it a point to tune in again tomorrow at the same time for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends and part two of my conversation with Michael Card. I want to do a shout out for Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in Paxton, Illinois. Doug and Julie got on board after listening to Friday's program and wanted to help with a substantial gift to be a business partner. So thanks, Doug and Julie, and Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in Paxton, and the Arby's management team, which oversees the Arby's in Mahomet, Champaign-Urbana, and Danville, came on also as business sponsors. So we're down to around $7,000 to have all of our needs covered for our community appreciation concert on the 29th. And we finally got a couple bids in for our special dinner invitation for a couple listeners to have an Olive Garden supper at the Virginia Theater with Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card, and yours truly. And last I heard, it was at $105, but don't hesitate to call. The high bidder will get a couple VIP tickets along with that special meet and greet and dinner with those artists and a few other people. So call in 217-367-7777 and we'll allow this bidding to continue till Friday night. So call in now and be sure to get your tickets. We expect to sell out. Okay, I'm going to jump right into my conversation with Michael Card. We talk a little about what the Lord's teaching him. He comments on community and mentoring, how he stays fresh with the Lord, some of the process that goes into songwriting, and I'll try to fit in a song or two. So here's Michael Card as I recorded my conversation with him just a few days ago. So Michael, what's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Well, Mark, one of the good things about working on this series is I'm learning more. I've learned more in the last 3 years than I've learned in the previous 20 years. I'm big into this idea of being a lifelong learner. And just this morning, I was looking in Matthew at the story of the Syrophoenician woman. Mark lets us know that Jesus went all the way to Tyre. Really, he's really hiding. But what happens in Matthew, I've never seen this before, because we're always trying to answer the question of, oh, who is this woman? Why does Jesus call her a dog? You know, that whole thing. But what I finally realized was she asked for mercy, right? Have mercy is what she says. And I think the point of that story, and like I said, I've never seen this before, but the point of that story is anyone, even a Gentile woman, who Jesus is initially, you know, reluctant at first. He's reluctant to help her because his mission at this point is just to the Jews. But anybody who asks for mercy is going to get it, right? Anybody who asks for mercy is going to get it. So I that's huge. I mean, that's huge for me.
Yeah, I love the example where she says, if just like throw me a crumb from your table. I mean,
right.
Just so classic.
Right. And she, I think Jesus is delighted. I mean, and in the first place, he's not calling her a dog. Okay. We've got to make that very clear. The term that Jesus uses that's used in all the gospels is puppy. It's the little household dog. So, it's just a household image that's a Gentile image because Jews don't keep dogs. He's not calling her a dog, but he's basically making this point that, you know, there's food that belongs to the children and you don't give that to anybody else. And she says, you know, she adapts his image. And I really think this is a place where we see Jesus is delighted by this woman, and he is not going to refuse her. And so, you know, again, the teaching doesn't need to simply call her a dog, blah, 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 blah. The real point of that story is anybody who asks for mercy is going to get it. Anybody.
Yeah. And you've sung about that for 30 plus years. You've written about that for so many years. You've recorded over 31 albums, authored or co-authored 24 books. You've hosted a radio program, written a number of articles for magazines. And I love the fact you're in God's Word daily, that you glean truth from Him, so that helps you with your songwriting. I have a list here. I'm in the studio here. I have a studio in our home, and I just pulled a few CDs off our shelf. And these are just some of the songs that have ministered to me over the years. El Shaddai, Emmanuel, The Poem of Your Life, Love Crucified Arose, Could It Be, That's What Faith Must Be, Live This Mystery, Jubilee, They call him Laughter, the Final Word, the Nazarene, the Gentle Healer, Come to the Table, Joy in the Journey. You've ministered for so many years, and it's like, thank you, God, for Michael Card. Thank you, Michael Card. Thank you for being willing, being a vessel, allowing him to work in and through you. And how do you stay fresh in that relationship so that you can truly press forth kingdom purpose in all your realms of activity?
Well, first of all, if those songs have been helpful to you, it's in spite of me, not because of me, right? God uses me in spite of myself. But I really think if I've been able to be encouraging to people, it's because I'm encouraged by a wonderful man named William Lane. And actually, March 7th is the 13th anniversary of his death. I was holding his hand when he died. And he's the person that for 27 years discipled me. He was a Bible teacher and a commentary writer. And if it wasn't for Bill, he was the first person to ever ask me to write a song. I would have never written music if it wasn't for Bill Lane. So any of your family, the Great News family, have found this stuff helpful, thank Bill Lane. Thank Bill Lane.
Well, and you've been intentional on learning and being a part of a community. And I know because we used to carry your program in the studio with Michael Card, we love Wayne Shepherd, but you've many times talked about the community, the importance of having other Christians around you, and even this individual that's mentored you. Talk a little about community and mentoring.
Well, I think community tends to be sort of a buzzword. When we gathered together as a group of men, 28, 29 years ago and started praying for revival in Franklin, what happened, what we were expecting wasn't what we got, which is usually what happens when you pray. And what we got was this real call to community. That's revival in Franklin. The answer to our prayer in Franklin was that the community came together. And of course, when that happens, we start bearing each other's burdens and that sort of thing. Then slowly revival, followed that. But we didn't know that we needed community first.
Well, I know many of your songs are from your own life experiences, from your gleaning truth from Scripture. I can quote others that have said, like, much of your lyrics, your songwriting is biblically rich. Or biblically rich, drawn from the very Scriptures. And how do you go about writing a song? Do you just kind of pray? Do you put life circumstances into a context and start thinking about it, and then God reveals words or concepts? How does that all come together, that process?
I've frankly never been very good at, something happens in my life, and then I write a song about it. I mean, I think that's inevitable, and there may be I've written, 393 songs in the last 30 years. Maybe a dozen of those were, connected to either a nephew who died or, just my relationship with my wife or whatever. But by and large, what happens with me, Mark, is that I'm reading through Scripture and all of a sudden something just sort of pops. I mean, there's an idea that you become very excited about and I can't not write something about it when I find, like, this idea about the Gentile woman receiving mercy, that he never turns anyone down. I mean, that probably end up being a song or being an idea within a song someday.
Now, you mentioned or referenced your wife, Susan, and you have four children. Maybe do a little shout-out for them, because many of us know you as a singer, songwriter, an author, a speaker. Sure. You hold a lot of seminars, but you're also a husband, a father, a dad.
Yeah, well, I've been away so much. I think that's something that people that are in this kind of ministry always struggle with. And, I would never pretend, that I've been an adequate father, but I have four kids. They're all big now. My oldest daughter, Katie's 24. She just got married, and I have a son who's 23, Will, and then a 19-year-old son, Nathan, and an 18-year-old daughter, Maggie. And they're exceptional kids, and it has nothing to do with they, in spite of me, they're exceptional kids. Yeah.
What was it like handing over your daughter to this young man, knowing that they're going to start their own family and carry on kind of some of the legacy of you and Susan's life?
Yeah. Well, the boy she married, his name's Stephen. He's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's an exceptional young man, and he came and asked me before they started dating. He came and asked me if they could date, and that was pretty awesome. And so, but even before their first date, he and I prayed for their relationship, and then of course he came and asked me when he wanted to ask her to marry him. And so he and I, apart from Katie, even before their relationships, the different stages of their relationship starts, we were praying for them. So when the day came for the wedding, I was just so happy and so excited, and everyone kept saying, you know, why aren't you crying? Why aren't you upset? I said, I have no reason whatsoever to cry. Here's this remarkable man who loves my daughter. But at the same time, I can't imagine being a father and marrying your daughter to someone that you knew was not going to be the man that God intended for her. I don't know. I can't imagine what that would be like. It must be horrible.
Before I ask you or have you share a little about some of the greatest challenges that you're facing, you know, currently or in the future, or those that you're maybe struggling through, can you give us a few glimpses into some of your life story? Because, you know, we have a wide range of listeners. Some are unchurched. Some have never entertained the idea that God loves them or cares. But give us some portions of your life where you've seen God reveal himself to you through scriptures, through circumstances, through people, and how he's brought you to the place where you're at today.
Well, I grew up in church. Both my grandfathers were ministers, so I'm one of those people. Very boring testimony, you know, walked the aisle at about eight years old and went to church, you know, with my mom. My dad wasn't a churchman, but my dad was a Christian, but he didn't go to church. He was a doctor and could always find some excuse for not going to church. So pretty ordinary up until the time I was 14. And then I can say, you know, without a doubt, that the person I am today really began when I was 14, and God just gave me this bizarre hunger. At 14, the Jesus movement had just started in Nashville, and what a lot of people don't remember about the Jesus movement, it wasn't essentially all about music at first. What happened was that there were home Bible studies everywhere, and at 14, I started going to all these Bible studies all over Nashville. That's when I became, you know, for better or for worse, what I am now. When I was given this hunger for the Bible. And the rest of the story of my life has just been wrestling with themes and ideas, you know, in the Bible. I mean, I got up this morning at 5 o'clock here in my little office where I work, working on Matthew, because the next book I have to write is going to be on Matthew.
Now, you mentioned walking the aisle or beginning that relationship, but there's some people that are like, what does that mean, walk the aisle or surrendering or repenting or dealing with sin or understanding God's love? Can you give us like a little more insight into what that was like or why you hungered for God's word?
Sure. And Mark, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that you're sensitive to, you know, that there's a whole world, in fact, a growing world of people who don't speak, you know, the Christian language, and it's great. I need to become better at that. But yeah, for those of you that are listening and are clueless to this, you know, language about walking the aisle, what happened to me was I'd grown up hearing this story about who this person Jesus was. He was a fixture in our family. You know, we prayed before every meal and that sort of thing. But what happened is when I was eight, I realized not that he died on the cross, I knew that, but I realized the personal dimension of it, that there was this remarkable, very fascinating person who hadn't just died on the cross, but he died on the cross for me. It became personal, and I realized that I was being called. And again, we used to say, you know, oh, I've asked Jesus into my heart. Even when I became a Christian, I said, no. When I was eight, I said, no, I feel like he's asking me into his heart, and that's really what happened. This dimension of relationship happened at eight. And, you know, I realized that even at eight, you know, I realized that there was a lot in my life that needed to change, and I needed to, you know, stop thinking about myself all the time and that sort of thing. And I'm, you know, regretfully sort of confess that I've made very little progress in most of those areas since then. But, you know, it's not even about the genuineness of my repentance. The onus is always on him and his grace. And so I asked like the woman who asked for mercy, you know, I asked for mercy, and he will not deny that request. I can tell you that the Jesus of the Gospels never closes his ears to someone who simply just says, have mercy on me. Give me something that I don't deserve. You know, that's what mercy is. Mercy is this gift that God gives us that we don't and can't and never could deserve, but nonetheless, he defines himself as the person who gives mercy.
Here's Michael Card singing about mercy with his song, Joy in the Journey.
There is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life, and freedom for those who obey. And all those who seek it shall find it, a pardon for all who and sight for the blind.
It's like the woman who asked for mercy. You know, I asked for mercy, and he will not deny that request. I can tell you that the Jesus of the Gospels never closes his ears to someone who simply just says, "Have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Give me something that I don't deserve." You know, that's what mercy is. Mercy is this gift that God gives us that we don't and can't and never could deserve, but nonetheless, he defines himself as the person who gives mercy.
Yes, you've sung about that, you've taught about that, you've written many songs about that. And in case you just tuned in, I have Michael Card on the phone with me, author, gifted speaker, songwriter, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And we're talking a little about some of his story. He's coming to our area on the 29th. We're excited to have you join Twyla Paris, Steve Green, and Wayne Watson. What can people expect when they hear you on stage? What would be somebody who's entertaining the idea of coming out, what are they going to hear or learn?
Well, I think, and this is just my opinion, I think the most helpful part of this evening, because we've done a number of these already together, I think it's important for people just to see our relationship, especially Steve Green. Steve's been one of my best friends for 20 years. Hmm. He lives 2 miles from my house, and we went to church for years, and I think the most important thing they can see is four people who really respect each other and love each other. There's no competition. I manipulated my way into being first. So if everything's, you know, stays true to form, you know, I always go first. So I enjoy opening for those guys. And then I sit back myself and just listen to what they sing.
Hmm. Do you have a special memory thus far with them on stage or an occurrence, something maybe humorous or funny that has happened?
Well, you know, I had been friends with Steve, and we had done occasionally we do a concert together over the years, but never anything deliberate like this. And in general, what's been fun for me is getting. I would have told you I really know Steve Green. I know how his mind works, and you know, I think we have a pretty confessional relationship. When we mess up in, you know, whatever area, we tend to call each other and ask, mm-hmm. you know, ask the brother to forgive the brother. Mm-hmm. But what's been really cool is spending even more time, especially time backstage while everybody else is sound checking and doing their thing. I've gotten to know Steve even better, and that was surprising to me because I thought I knew him.
Hmm.
And I had never spent any time with Twyla or Wayne, and it's been really nice getting to know them. They're remarkable people.
Yeah, we had Twyla on last week, and she mentions it's like being with you guys is like a high school reunion, if you will, because you've all been singing for 30 or so years and just have many common interests and a love for the Lord. And she said it's just like community, it's camaraderie. It's a lot of fun, and yet we get to worship and share together. Hey, tell us something maybe about yourself that our listeners are unfamiliar, maybe a hobby, a story, or something unique in your life.
Well, I'm sad to say I was a person that used to have lots of hobbies. My graduate assistantship was actually in physics and astronomy, so I taught astronomy to make money to get my master's in the religion department, which was kind of an odd crossover. So astronomy was huge for me, and I've got a beautiful telescope that I haven't gotten out in years. So all my hobbies have really sort of been absorbed. I think the last remaining hobby I have is motorcycle riding, and basically I have a motorcycle there's something fun and physical, fairly physical, that I can do when the weather's good enough. And so I go to all my meetings and stuff like that on my little motorcycle. So I guess that's That's my last remaining hobby.
Now, we have some motorcycle enthusiasts in our area, and they're going to ask, what's the bike or what's the model?
Okay. Well, it's a Ducati. It's a monster, 696. So it's a relatively small motorcycle, 700cc motorcycle. But I call it it's a great old man motorcycle because it's very low to the ground, and it's not a hog or a Harley or any of that stuff. It's just a very basic motorcycle, but it'll scoot along, which is fun. I've never been fast enough to suit me in my life. I love the feeling of acceleration. You know, sure. Of course, I never go over the speed limit.
Oh no, of course not.
Perfectly clear. But the point is, I can get to the speed limit really fast.
Yes. I've been there, done that. Have you said that before to a friend? Well, I'm going to jump in and pause our conversation, and we'll finish up with part two tomorrow, including a couple new songs that Michael Card would like to share with you. So tune in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends at this same time tomorrow. And I'll close out with The Stranger by Michael Card, one of his newer releases, praying that you won't allow the Lord Jesus to be a stranger in your life. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. And be sure to get your tickets for our Community Appreciation Concert on March 29th, featuring Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card, who you heard today and you'll hear again tomorrow. Tickets can be purchased at the Virginia Theater at 217-356-9063 or online at thevirginia.org. General seating tickets are $11. Invite a friend, neighbor, colleague, but get your tickets now before we run out. Have a great day, and see you at the same time tomorrow for part two of my interview with Michael Card.
You're still